Hey, it's Jody Hamilton.
And Sean Smith-Pierce.
Here's a taste of what you might have missed from the Politics Bar.
Jody, I was listening to you this morning, filling in for Steph. You and Chris were debating, and just for the record, Jody is right. Chris's argument is that there is some truth to what's being said about the left being in their own information silo. Right.
Basically, we started talking about how Gavin Newsom has invited people on his podcast, High Up MAGA Guys.
Yeah. Well-known right-wing propagandists. That's what they are. Yeah.
And my argument is he shouldn't be inviting them because nobody on that side is listening to Gavin Newsom.
Right. It doesn't help to bring propagandists into a sphere where truth matters because they're just going to lie their asses off anyway.
Right.
So here is a public service message for Chris Lavoie. Jody Hamilton is right. Catch all that and more weeknights at the Politics Bar. Available through your favorite progressive radio station, your favorite podcast player, or online anytime at thepoliticsbar.com.
Welcome to the Start Me Up podcast, part of MSW Media and the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. I'm your host, Kimberly Johnson in DC. Today, my returning guest is writer Sarah Wood. Yay, we love Sarah. All right, so lots to talk about before we get into it. The Start Me Up podcast is independent and woman-run. I offer a show every Tuesday just for patrons called What's Up, where I get a little more personal and talk about whatever's on my mind. I also offer an ad-free tier with a much shorter intro. Just visit patreon.com/startmeup. Look at the different tiers and support the show today. Now please enjoy my conversation with Sarah Wood. Welcome back to the show, Sarah.
Thank you for having me back.
So do you have explosive diarrhea yet?
No, I'm just kidding. No, I haven't. I did at my nephew's party, graduation party. I don't drink alcohol anymore.
Yeah.
So I had way too many Coca-Colas than an adult should have. And my body didn't necessarily agree with that, but that's as far as I'll get into that story.
Oh my God. Yeah. I'm so angry. I posted last night a joke that was like, lettuce gives you explosive diarrhea, ice cream, pasta, and chocolate doesn't. And somebody, you know, like with a little smiley face, and somebody had to quote tweet me and say how it made them so irate. And I'm assuming that they said, you know, I know we need to have humor, but this is terrible. And they called it genocide. And I'm like, I don't know if they were angry at me for making the joke. And I totally understand that there are people in this country that, you know, have to eat a certain way. And this is very difficult. If you can't get your fresh vegetables, and they're important, but you know what? You can get frozen vegetables and you can get canned vegetables and you can still, you know, get fucking Metamucil if you need your fiber. So this is just something that's happening temporarily.
And exactly.
Yes, it's the government's fault, but at the same time, it's not killing people. It's just, if you get it, it's not fun. Although I will remind everybody, it is a parasite. So go, like, if you start getting explosive diarrhea, then you need to go to the doctor and you need to tell them all the information. So whatever is working at the CDC, whatever little tiny fucking office is working over there, they can track as much as they can. And, but you can go to, I think like you can go to, what do you call it? Like farmers markets and stuff, because they know, I believe that it's human fecal matter, which is the issue.
Oh, God, that's a really shitty situation.
No kidding. So, you know, you eat shit and then you have explosive diarrhea. So, yeah, you can like go to a local farmer's market where you know there's not going to be human fecal, or at least you hope there isn't going to be. And yeah. Anyway.
You can wash your veggies too.
Veggies. Yeah. But I mean, you can, if you cook them, that really helps. And then, you know.
That too.
You could get frozen and just do with some, you eat a lot of broccoli for a little while. It's not going to, you know, it's not the worst thing in the world. So
that's what we did last night. We totally had broccoli last night. That's what we're like, broccoli, we'll do broccoli. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So before we get started, and I'm just going to tell all of my listeners to my show, What's Up, you're going to hear way more about this next Tuesday, but I'm going to touch on it now. And I posted it yesterday. And I'm going to share this dream that I had because I think it's kind of a metaphor for what's happening to us right now. And, you know, what I'm going to share in my What's Up, which is, like I said, I do this every Tuesday and it's for patrons only. I usually talk about who we are beyond the human personality. I'm not super spiritual, but I do talk about spiritual stuff, but I'm not like the most, I don't know. I'm not one of these, like the reason I got into it in the first place is because I wanted my life to feel better and I wanted to like figure it out better. So I never got into this because I thought I want to be a spiritually awake. I didn't think like that. It was just like, I just want my life to be easier and I want to deal with things better. So I kind of like was led to this. And okay, so I'm just going to explain the dream and then I'm going to explain what I think it means with all the stuff that I've been working on for the past 6 years on trying to handle my life better. So anyway, first part of the dream, I'm in this home. I don't know what home it is, but I'm in a home. I'm in a living room and there's a terrible, terrible storm outside. And inside the living room, it's kind of dark. There were no lights on. The curtains were closed and you could see that outside was red. It was like so scary that it was red and like a tornado was going to come. And so I remember crouching behind the couch and I was really calm. And I thought maybe I should go down to the basement. And then I don't really remember what happened after that. It was a very short little dream. I never went down to the basement, but that's all I really remember. And I felt calm. And then, okay, now this is the weird part. So it was like 8 o'clock in the morning and I'm still in bed and I like wake up and I'm thinking, okay, I got to get up now. But I was so, you know how you're so comfortable and you just don't want to move because you're like in the perfect position and you just feel so good. And yeah. So that's where I was. And I woke up and I had that awareness. So like I fall back into sleep and then I immediately start this dream where I'm in an airplane and it just turns upside down in midair. And I hear everything. I hear the creaking of the plane, you know, all the shits flying around in the cabin. I'm not afraid at all. What's happening is I'm realizing that I'm laying there in that really comfortable position that I had just kind of acknowledged in my awake time. Like, oh, I'm so comfortable. And I somehow that correlated in the dream, but I was in the airplane. And I was that comfortable. And as the plane was literally plummeting to the earth, so I could feel it. I could see it. It was very real. And I could like look out the window and I could see earth getting closer. And I was super calm. I wasn't afraid at all. And I thought, oh, okay, I guess this is my time. And then something happened. I blacked out. Like there was like time lost. And then the next thing I remember is that the plane, I guess like maybe the captain had taken some control of the plane and we were still heading toward Earth, but it was slower. And I think what I remember the feeling was like, uh-oh, you know, like when we were barreling into the Earth, it was just going to be easy, crash, burn, over. Like, is this going to be more difficult? Am I going to get hurt? And I wasn't scared. I was just, it's almost like I was asking it with no emotion. A little bit of concern, but really nothing. And then that was the dream. I think Bob woke me up. And so, of course, anybody waking up from that dream, you're like, oh my God, I just dreamed that I was plummeting to Earth in an airplane. And but I was never scared. So it wasn't a nightmare. And I genuinely believe, and this is why I'm telling everybody this, because what I've been learning to do, especially in this last year, as you know, when things feel chaotic, whether it's in my personal life or in political or whatever, what I do is I kind of go through this like observer mode where I observe myself, I observe what's happening, and I say, okay, I get that I feel this way, but it's not who I am. I don't have to think because I feel afraid right now that has to mean anything about who I am or what's going to happen. So I allow myself to feel my fear, but I won't feed it. I won't keep feeding the story. Sometimes your mind really wants to, though. So when it really, really wants to, I just keep reminding it. It's like, recalibrate, recalibrate, recalibrate. I am not going to feed you. If I find myself feeding it, I stop. And then the best thing to do in that case, even if you're feeling like shit because you're upset about what you're seeing, is if there's nothing you can do, divert your attention. Try to get your attention. I think the best way to describe this is people who have quit smoking. You know, when you have that fucking cigarette voice in your head, smoke a cigarette, smoke a cigarette. I want a cigarette. I want a cigarette. You have to fucking get away from it, because if you don't, you will give into it. So it's the same kind of advice. It's literally taking some control of your own mind and saying, okay, you get to feel whatever you feel, but I don't have to buy into this. So I just wanted to put that out there because, yeah, it seemed like a scary dream, but the more I thought about it all day yesterday, I just thought, you know what? This is a message to me that during chaotic times, I'm going to be okay. And I'm just going to trust. That doesn't mean sit back and do nothing, but don't try to force anything. Do what feels natural. Do what you feel inspired to do, but don't try to change everything. And don't assume the worst. So many times people assume the worst, and you can just as easily assume the best. If you don't know what's going to happen, it's your choice to assume the worst. Okay, so off my fucking soapbox, but I just wanted to share that.
No, I think it's great. No, I think your takeaway from that was what the takeaway I was going to give you, which was basically like even through chaos, you were still calm.
Right.
So I think that's a really powerful message.
Yeah. And I mean, obviously every day, like yesterday was I didn't even really pay attention to politics yesterday. I mean, that's like I thought about that at the end of the day. I thought, oh my God, this is like the first day since 2012. Huh. I was online, but yeah. I wasn't focused in on any of the stories because I had a lot of shit going on that I was focused on outside of, you know, paying attention to everything else. But yeah, I mean, it's like sometimes we hear the news, but now this is going to bring me to what's happening now. And I mean, I'm still on, I think you and I are on the same fucking page. I think despite all this crazy, horrible shit we're seeing, I actually feel good. And one of the reasons I'm going to ask you about this, but one of the reasons I feel good is because I just saw Tallarico in the polls is ahead of Paxton. And
love
now
it.
Before all the naysayers come in and go, but it's Texas. Yes, it's Texas. But this is a different time. These are, you know, this is not Beto, who came very close. Tallarico is like, oh my God, he's so much better for Texas than Beto was.
I think he's going to win. I think he's going to win. I honestly do. That's my gut feeling on this. I think he has what it takes to win Texas. And I think Paxton is like a really shitty candidate too. So I think, I think the odds are in our favor.
It really makes me feel good. I think, you know, I think that, yeah, like Trump tonight is going to go present his fucking case to the world about how, you know, 2020 was stolen. He's going to lay out his plans to steal 2026. And I know so many Democrats out there are going to be like, oh my God, we're doomed. No, we're not. No, we're not. He's going to fuck around, but he cannot fuck around. It's way harder to cheat in a midterm than it is for one vote, you know, one candidate presidency. Yeah. That's easier to fix, but it is. And I don't like saying that, but it's true. It's much harder. And, you know, a lot of these precincts, they're closed off. Like there's Elon Musk's thing, whatever, I can't think of what it's called, but you know, what he was accused of changing votes. He can't do it because those terminals or whatever they're called are closed. Now, maybe he could do it in red states. Maybe red states, you know, red states are red states. But I just think, I mean, don't you have the strongest feeling that these fucking midterms are going to be a massive blowout for the Democrats?
I do. I do. I do think that what he's trying to do is sow distrust and make people not show up to vote. And low voter turnout means Republicans win. So I think they're going to do whatever.
You mean that, Democrats?
I mean, I'm sorry. Low voter turnout means Democrats. Jesus fucking Christ. I'm sorry. I my house is getting painted, so I'm in my office with no air conditioning. So.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So my brain wasn't working right there. Yeah. So Democrats win, low voter turnout. I think he's just trying to like make people just not want to vote. And I don't know what he's trying to do. Like, I just can't with that guy. I'm just like, what the fuck? And then Lindsey Graham dies. And I'm just like,
I'm not laughing at Lindsey Graham dying. I'm laughing at the fact that they're just hitting some really bad times in the GOP.
They are. It's like,
Karma, bitch.
I know. We don't know what's going on with Mitch McConnell. Like,
yeah.
Is he? I saw somebody say rigatortus and I died.
I know. I saw that was fucking awesome. There was, it was rigatortus and there was something else with tortoise in it. But okay, this is what I think. I don't know if anybody can hear that fucking car alarm, and that's on me. So sorry until they turn it off. But anyway, I don't believe that picture. I think it was an AI picture that they put out of McConnell. Mm-hmm. And I absolutely don't believe it. It's funny because there's a psychic woman that I have, a new one. I found her on YouTube and she talks about politics. And I like her because she reminds me of psychics that I've called and trusted in the past. I mean, I don't know anything about this woman, but I do know she's been correct because she's got several videos up. She didn't start that long ago, but I don't know. She made a couple of predictions in the spring and they turned out to be true. And, a couple other things. So I don't, there's never going to be a psychic who gets everything right. But what she said was she had predicted back in, I don't know, earlier this year, she said there was going to be a prominent, I don't think she said senator, but like a prominent political figure that was going to have a heart attack and that it was going to be Republican and that they were going to hide it. I think, I don't know if for sure it was Republican, but for sure they were going to hide it. And I'm trying to think. Oh, and then she said, so she, when she focused on Mitch McConnell, she said she felt as if like there was a tube down his throat. And I'm trying to get these stories right because I know, okay, yeah, there was a tube down his throat. And she said that she learned because she looked it up. She psychically felt there was the tube. So she looked up why there might be a tube. And it was something about congestive, I think it was, cardiac arrest, which mm-hmm. I think is slightly different than a heart attack. But either way, whatever she had picked up on earlier this year, it's happening now with Mitch McConnell. And she said she doesn't feel that photo is real either. I didn't feel that it was real as soon as I saw it.
Yeah, no, it didn't. It gave off all the AI vibes. All of them. Yeah.
And I mean, I'm not saying she's psychic to say that, you know, maybe that was just her personal opinion, but she did not feel that. But it was just interesting to me to hear that. And, you know, it's funny because what she said about Lindsey Graham, she didn't feel there was anything nefarious going on and that whatever happened with his heart, she felt was a legit thing. Okay. But she did say, I mean, I take it with a grain of salt because, you know, but she did say that when they were going, you know, whoever officials were going through his shit, that they found some Polaroids. Now, she didn't go into detail, but who would be surprised? You know, nobody would be surprised. And, you know, as I think I told, I don't know if it was you or somebody. I know I think I told Stephanie, my friend, on the show, but it was like, and I'll say it now since I won't get sued for it because he's no longer with us. But I had talked to somebody who worked on the Hill back in the day, you know, years ago. And the whole, like, I guess it was like an open secret and everyone knew that Lindsey Graham was picking up underage male prostitutes. Mm. And so that's, it's like, it's not that he's gay. Like nobody gives a shit about that. It was the underage.
It's the other stuff. Yeah. Thing. Like no one cares that you're gay, dude. Like we all know. So it had to have been something else. So,
right. Yeah. Yes. And do I know that's true? I don't know, but I know the person who told me that, and that this person usually doesn't share gossip with me. And this was years and years ago. Mm-hmm. So, I can't prove it. I don't know that it's true, but this is what I heard. So, you know, and as far as Lindsay's concerned, the psychic lady had said she had picked up on, I can't remember what it was, but, fatty liver. And,
he was an alcoholic. Yeah.
Yes. And so she had made comment about that. And she's, she's like, I'm not a doctor. I got fatty liver and I think he was an alcoholic, blah, blah, blah. So whatever, again, grain of salt, but it was just like, And so what she said was she thinks we're going to have a Democratic president in 2028. She thinks that, another thing she said, and I'm asking her to clarify this. She's doing a show this weekend. But she said that Trump would, this was the confusing part. She said Trump would be able to appoint one more Supreme Court justice. However, this was what's confusing. It sounded as if, and I asked her to be clear on this, it sounded as if he's going to try to nominate someone and it's not going to happen. Nobody's going to accept it. So he will be able to nominate another, but it won't be his first choice. So I asked her the question of, will this person, I think, you know, is this going to be another full-blown fascist? And since you're saying we're getting a Democratic president, she does think we're winning the midterms. Will we be expanding the court? So it'll be interesting what she says there. But yeah, I mean, I think it'll suck ass if, yeah, he does get to replace someone else. But he's not going to replace, I mean, it's, you know, if we're able to get reforms in and change the age situation, he's only going to replace another fascist. Do you know what I mean?
That, I know. I think, I think it would be Alito next, honestly. So yeah. It's not like it would change the balance of the court.
Right. It's just a younger person.
Yeah. It would just mean that he himself got to appoint four right. Supreme Court justices, which is just disgusting. Bonkers and so yeah. Disgusting.
It's so awful. I hate it so much. But I don't know, man. It's, you know, it's like when
Sunday and I'm not morning. Saying Alito's dying. I'm saying he's probably going to step down.
Step down, right.
That's yeah. What I meant by that. Yeah.
Right. And when I thought it was funny because on Sunday morning, you know, I hear from the bathroom, Lindsey Graham is dead. Like, oh my God. That's how I found out.
You want to know how we found out? It's a funny story. So our dog puked in the middle of the night. And like she woke up and she puked and then we were like, oh God, that's gross. And then I looked at my phone and I was like, Lindsey Graham died. And my wife was like, what? And I was like, yeah. And that was pretty much just our reaction. We're like, I think our dog like woke up, maybe she's Republican, but I don't think so. She is like a cop though, but she let us know.
So funny. Oh my God. Okay, so then did you see that I don't even know the Republican's name, but Becerra is like winning by 60-some% over the Republican 30-something% in California. Not entirely surprising, but good to know. And I just, you know, I keep seeing all these positive things. Now I want to talk about Plattner. and I don't, you know, look, he's out. Right.
I know. But I just want to say,
yes,
I called this shit from the beginning, like summer 2025. Everyone was like, this guy's from Central Casting. Look at him. It's like we couldn't have a better candidate. And he's just a giant walking red flag. Did a basic oppo research. And I was like, no, this is not the guy. And then I just had to wait for everyone else to catch up.
Well, and so I want to kind of bring this back to the Democratic Eeyores who like to turn everything into doom. And it's obviously like with Swalwell and with Plattner, it's upsetting, right? Especially like for me, I didn't like Plattner, but I stayed quiet because I just thought, you know what? Whatever, this is like trying to argue about the fucking Middle East. No matter what point, no matter where you stand, someone's going to fucking hate on you. And I just don't have the time. So I thought this is up to me, even though he would be a senator and his vote would impact me, who does not live in Maine. This is up for people from Maine to decide.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how I left it. And then when he became the nominee, I was disappointed, but I thought, all right, we got to get behind this guy. You know,
same,
I had a feeling.
Same. I was like, I hate him, but he's got to win. Yeah.
He's got to. I mean, Charlotte Clymer wrote this whole piece, and everything she said was accurate. You know, she was like, "Look, nobody is in the military doesn't know what that fucking tattoo is."
Exactly.
And the other thing that I wasn't aware of until after all this shit happened was that I guess prior to going into the military, he was declaring how he couldn't wait to go over and kill people.
Yep.
So that's really fucking bad. That's how I don't even know how anybody allowed that. And then you know, I remember when what's her name, who I love, Elizabeth Warren endorsed him. I know fucking Allison Gill was really pissed because she like tweeted at her and she's like, shame on you. And so anyway, you know, then this whole thing happens and it's awful, awful, awful. And then the worst part of it, though, is all the fucking men defending him. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. I literally had a guy say, like, oh, we should be going after the victims, too. I said, like, literally. I was like, what? like, why don't they come out sooner? Okay, go ask Dolores Huerta that.
Yeah.
Who didn't come out. Like, sometimes it's more dangerous for women to do that. So like these men are just living their own little privilege. I can go off. Privileged bubbles of just like, ooh. So the guy, it's like, why don't you acknowledge that the guy you like is an asshole?
They like can't.
They just can't do it. And it's like,
some and can, then, and I have seen a few, but a lot of them, they dig their heels in. Yeah.
And it tells me all I need to know about those men who are defending them. And I'm like, no, no.
Well, and then they start screaming about due process. And it's like, you know what? This has nothing. This is not due process. This is about a fucking candidacy. He's not in court. He's in the court of public opinion right now.
Exactly.
And that's what happens in public opinion. And so, yeah, he could go to court and he will get due process. But he doesn't get due process in the court of public opinion. And, nope. And look, I mean, the whole thing with Tara Reid, when she accused Joe Biden, it was like the first thing I thought was, oh, no, oh, no, because I took her seriously. I didn't automatically believe her. I just took what she said seriously. And I thought, we got to listen to this woman and we got to hear her story. And I didn't want to. I was terrified. But everything she said turned out to be a fucking lie. And now she lives in Russia. Her story fell apart. She didn't have any corroborating, you know, evidence or people, nothing. And all these love letters to Putin. And so it was like, all right, your story is just and really what done her in was the pantyhose, that she wasn't wearing pantyhose in the 90s at the Hill. Yes, she was. Everybody, if you're at the Hill in the 90s, I was working at the Broadway department store in California in the 90s, and you had to, it was mandatory. And if you had
everybody wore pantyhose in the 90s,
you had to. Yeah. And if you got a rip in your pantyhose, then you just had to suffer all day with the rip in your fucking pantyhose because you weren't allowed to show your bare fucking legs. So that was a lot. And then, of course, there was also the fact that she was supposedly in this very busy part of, I don't, you know, whatever it's called in the building. And like, yeah, he's like raping her in the hallway with everybody walking by. It made no sense. So we listened to Tara Reid and we're like, no, we don't believe you. But then, and I do think when it's a political thing, no matter what, no matter who it is, we should always take the person who says they've been harmed seriously. And we also have to understand in a political environment, people are going to lie. There's going to be, and it's usually on the right. It's usually on the right, but you know, we have to know that there's going to be some, you know, shady business going on every once in a while. And so, you know, this woman though, who went after Graham Plattner or accused him, I should say, she had corroborating evidence. It was very, you know, she had, I think like stuff to her therapist, emails from her boyfriend or to her boyfriend.
She had a lot. Yeah.
So, you know, and the thing is honestly, I'll bet you that it sounds like he was blackout drunk. He probably doesn't remember doing it. That doesn't excuse it.
No, that's very true. Yeah. No, I'm guessing
he probably doesn't remember it.
Yeah.
So, and so if he's saying I didn't do it, then, you know, he may believe that he didn't do it because he doesn't remember it. But, you know, it's just, I think, so like you said, and I saw a lot of people on my Facebook page, a lot of people, Allison Gill, lots of people, did not like this guy. And, you know, once he became the candidate, it's like, all right, I'm just not even going to fucking deal with people who hate him. I know you hate him. I don't like him either, but he's got to win. And I think this is actually a good thing. I mean, it came out in enough time. It's Maine. It's not the presidency. There's a couple of people in Maine who have really high profile names and they're running. And I think that there's an app, like, even though Graham Plattner's numbers were good and he had a charismatic message, I don't know if he would have won or not, but I think we do have the better option now. It's a better option for everybody. And hopefully the Democrats learned whatever they need to learn, and this is not me attacking them. Sometimes we all make mistakes, right? It's not a shame. It's not bad to make a mistake. It's like when you're playing fucking football, you go over your play and go, okay, what did we do right? What did we do wrong? What can we do to improve next time? So I hope that that is a conversation that's being had by everybody who blindly got behind this guy.
Well, yeah, that was like after 2024, and they're all like, we need to just run white men everywhere to appeal to white men. And I'm like, so you want to lean into the problem. I get it.
Right.
Okay, that sounds like a plan. Don't get me. I swear to fucking God. Here's the thing with Graham, too, is the fact that this wasn't even the October surprise. Can you imagine? Like, there's
oh
probably,
my God, yeah.
There's probably more.
Oh, yes, there's probably more. Absolutely. I mean, the way, and then his victimhood. With his,
oh,
you know,
God,
blaming everybody.
10-minute video, just being like, I literally posted a screenshot and I was like, how to spot a narcissist? Because I was like, Jesus Christ. Like, it's like, dear God, like, no one marry that man. I know he's married, but no one marry that man. It's awful.
It's awful. Okay, and now we're going to move over to Low-T Hegseth. Oh my God. So
what is he going to do with low T people? Like, is it gender
mandatory
gender conforming stuff where like he gives tea to people or is it just how he's trying to get women out of the military? I'm wondering.
Well, he could give women a bunch of testosterone and we could all go kick some ass. Everybody's going to get a lot of acne and lose their hair though. So, yeah, I mean, yes, that's what he hates women. And but it's gender affirming care. It's like, you know, hello, that's what trans men take.
Yeah.
I take fucking testosterone.
Yeah.
I take it.
So, it's yeah, people need it. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, I mean, it really helps. It really fucking helps. And I don't take a lot of it, but I, you know, I use the cream and my doctor, it's all, you know, bioidentical and all that. Or actually, I don't think testosterone is bioidentical, but either way, it's just, it makes a difference. And it's gender affirming in that it helps me. It's not about like my breasts or my vagina or anything, but it keeps me feeling more energetic. In fact, I remember last year I was, oh my God, I thought I was dying. I felt so bad. The quality of my life was poor. I had no energy. I was depressed. Everything hurt. And I upped my test, like Bob had said, well, maybe up your testosterone. And at first I was like, that's not going to do anything. And then I thought, well, let me just give it a try. So I upped it because I had actually taken it upon myself to lower my own dose. And so I just wasn't getting enough. And then when I upped it, it was like almost immediately I felt better. I felt like a normal person again. So it really does. You know, it has nothing to do with my gender per se, other than the fact that I'm a woman in menopause and I don't have testosterone or I'm not making very much testosterone. So the little boost that I get helps me with my energy and clarity. So I don't have like as much brain fog.
Yeah.
But yeah. So anyway, but yeah, that's what they're doing. They hate trans people and they don't want to give trans people gender affirming care, but they're just going to like, what are they going to make it mandatory? Are they going to force people to take testosterone? I don't even know. I've just seen the rumors. Do you know if it's like something that he wants to make mandatory?
I have no idea. I need to look more into it. It's just this whole thing is just, it's like a sketch.
Yeah. It's like all the fucking lonely sad boys yelling. It's like, it's the He-Man Women Haters Club. You know, they're so angry at everybody. It's like, why? Jesus Christ, you're on top. What's your fucking problem? Unbelievable. But did you hear about Massey? Is what Massey's doing?
With the funding? Is that what you're talking about?
He is introducing Epstein Files Transparency Act 2, bill to give states,
heard.
Yeah, and this just came out, a bill to give states AGs, DAs, authorized state officers, and victims the right to sue the DOJ for unlawfully withholding, redacting, delaying, concealing, removing, or failing to publish Epstein-related records.
Oh, I like it.
Fucking Massey. Oh, and you know what I want to ask you, though? I want to ask you this. What is the fucking reason why? Okay, I get that Kentucky is red. And Mitch McConnell, okay, let's just say Mitch McConnell is brain dead right now, dead or brain dead, which is basically the same, but like either a machine is keeping him alive or he's dead. If I guess the rule is if it's before August 3rd, then they have to have a special election. if it's announced that he's dead on August 3rd or after, then they're not going to have a special election because it's too close to the midterms and everybody's saying that's what they want, right? And I heard that it was, the reason is because of Massey, because people, the Republicans are afraid Massey's going to get in and take over from McConnell. But I don't know, okay, it would still have to be a special election. There's going to be an election in November that they can't stop.
Yeah.
So whoever wins the special election is going to be in that seat for like 5 minutes. Why are they so hell-bent? What is the reason? Like, what is it? Because it's just a short little period of time.
There's
they still have to have a special election to even pick someone.
Yeah.
So, like, I seriously don't know. Like, that makes me wonder. Is there something going on that we don't – of course there is. But, like, is there something going on that we don't know, but – is it that they're afraid Massey is going to vote a certain way or do something? I don't know. What is it? Why are they not letting us know about McConnell?
I know. It's really scary.
It doesn't make sense to me.
It doesn't make any sense.
I mean, I know that, like I said, that the governor, Andy Beshear, is a Democrat, but it's fucking Kentucky and they voted for Mitch McConnell forever. So is his seat really that in danger of being taken over by, I don't even know who, Thomas Massey? I don't even know who. And then they're fucking appointing Lindsey Graham's sister.
What the fuck is that? It's like a monarchy. It's like, they're like, oh, the next in line, the next bloodline, you'll become the next senator. It's so odd. It's very, very odd.
Is that even legal?
It's like... First of all, why aren't you holding a special election?
Yeah.
And also, like, you have more qualified individuals in your state.
Yeah. What's going on?
It doesn't make any sense. Like, it doesn't make any sense to, it's like something happens to my brother and they make me the teacher of his classroom. Like, that's and that's on such a smaller scale and would be just as, like, weird.
This is ridiculous. Yes.
Yeah.
How can they even, like, I'm seriously asking, is it even legal that they can do this? I mean, but that doesn't make any sense. It's like, why didn't Hunter Biden just become president then?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I don't know. Like, you know, he could have stepped down and said, yeah, Hunter's going to take my place now. I don't understand it. These people, it's driving me nuts. And we know tonight, Donald Trump's going to say all these fucking lies. He's going to go lie and it's going to be on corporate media and they're not even going to fucking fact check them. I hope MS Now does. I hope they do. But I don't have a lot of faith. I won't watch them, and I'm not watching him. Poor Bob. I don't know if Bob's going to watch him. Bob watches everything he does and I won't do it. I won't do it. I'll just get everybody's take on it after. I can't fucking watch him because I want to kill people.
Yeah, I'll probably be watching like a WNBA game or something. I don't know. I can't with that man.
I'd rather have explosive diarrhea.
I would rather have explosive. Like, my colonoscopy prep is more delightful.
Yeah. Oh my God. And then did you hear 100 Democrats voted to end funding for Israel?
I did. I saw
that.
That's
amazing. And I want to be clear about this because, you know, I try to not get into this fight because no matter what you say, again, people are going to decide that you're anti-Semitic or that you hate Palestinians or whatever. And it's like, all I want is for peace, right? But I don't have any control over that. So I understand that, you know, the Hamas or whatever, they did what they did and people died. And then the way that Israel, and I'm not going to say Israel, the way that, what's his fucking name? I don't know why I can't think of his name.
Netanyahu. Yeah.
It's him.
It's him. He's their Trump. So it's like, we can talk about, like, when people talk about like America, they can talk about Americans, like, no, talk about our leadership, our shitty leadership. It's the same with Israel. Like, they have really shitty leadership.
Right. And what we do as people, like, for instance, we know Florida is a red state. So we're just going to refer to it as a red state. But clearly we know blue voters live there.
Yeah.
Not everybody who lives there is a Republican or fascist. But, you know, so that's kind of like when you say Israel, you're not necessarily meaning the people of Israel and you're not necessarily meaning Jewish people per se. You're just like, I don't think, like, I think Israel should have been able to defend itself 100%. But I think what Netanyahu is choosing to do, I mean, I'm not going to get too much into it, but I disagree with it. And I do think they should be able to protect themselves. And I have no problem with that. But it's like, it's over and above. And he wants to stay in office because he's a criminal, just like Trump. And saying, Benjamin Netanyahu is a criminal does not mean that you are anti-Semitic. It doesn't mean that you don't love the people from Israel or Jewish people or anything. Like, I have no fucking problem with them. I have no problem. I have no problem with Palestinian people. I have problems with terrorists. No matter where you are and you know what color you are, yes, obviously I have a problem with Palestinian terrorists, but I don't have a problem with the Palestinian people because they're just fucking people and they just want to live like everybody else. And, you know, the Middle East is the Middle East and they've got their whole gestalt in how they think. And it's very different than what I think. They have different religion. They have different perspectives. It's not, you know, people can argue all day, better, worse. I don't even think of it. It's just different. It, you know, I don't see them as other in a negative way. They have different culture. I don't have a problem with their fucking culture as long as they don't fuck me over. You know, it's like, that's do what like, you want.
Well, that's just like freedom of religion in this country. Yeah. It's like you have the freedom to practice your religion as long as you're not harming people. You have the freedom to practice what you choose and how you choose. And that's why we're not a Christian nation. You can be a Christian in this nation, and you're free to practice that, practice your religion, pray in public even. You can do all those things. But you can't enforce that on other people. And that's where the problem comes.
Yeah. You can't force it. And then it's like all these people, when I wished it was last year, when the war broke out, and I just ended up sending love to all of my Jewish friends and family. And I have a lot of Jewish family, immediate family. And I got this email from this guy. I won't say his name, but he's got a pretty significant following. And he was so mean to me. And he was just like basically accusing me of hating everyone in Palestine and being such a horrible person. It's like, oh my God, because I wish my Jewish friends and family love, this means I hate Palestinians. Fuck you. Yeah, oh my God.
Like there's no sense of nuance. Like there's zero, it's like there's black and there's white and there's no gray. Like it's
and then when the world refers to the United States as a pariah or whatever, I agree. Our leadership has turned us into that. I think the entire world knows that I think the world thinks, what the fuck is wrong with you, America, for voting for him? And unfortunately, enough people did vote to merit that question. But still, I know he cheated and everything. They always cheat. They always cheat, though. So, I get it. We're having a hard time in this country and we're fucking up. And it's reverberating throughout the globe. And I just feel like, how can I say this? I understand when another country is going to look and say, what the fuck is wrong with you, America? I'm not going to get super offended because I know what they're talking about. They're talking about what Donald Trump and the Republican fascists are doing. They're not talking about what people are, you know, the people in the streets who are protesting. You know, it was heartening to see as soon as that man in Maine was killed by ICE, immediately protests started. Immediately. That same day. That's a big fucking deal. And I think that that's another indicator for what's going to happen in November. And I know that they're going to try really hard to intimidate us and scare us and all that shit. But I go right back to my dream. It's like, just fucking ignore the chaos. You can ignore it. You can choose to decide that it's not going to scare you. Mm-hmm. I don't mean ignore it and pretend nothing's happening. I mean, ignore the fear, ignore the bullshit, because it doesn't have to affect us in the way in our worst case scenario fear. It doesn't. I swear to God, I know. I think I said this last year. And so I'm very cognizant of the fact that I thought Kamala was going to win. And so I say everything with a grain of salt, but I do think we're going to win because America is pissed. Americans are pissed and we're uncomfortable. And that's when people act. And we've been seeing it for, I mean, we've been seeing it in the primaries. We've been seeing it in the special elections. I know there was a black woman in, I think it's South Carolina, and she just won some, you know, mayor of whatever. And I don't know where it was. And it was a very small turnout, right? But she won it by 37 points.
That's so incredible.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously, you know, and I there was some community note. It was on Facebook, and it's just like, it was like, well, I think a Republican wrote this community note because it was basically saying, because I know Trump had won by, I don't know, maybe like 20-some% in 2024. And they had said that it was a really small election and that there was nowhere on the ballot could you tell if it was a Democrat or Republican. But I'm going to tell you right now, everybody who voted for her, for the black woman, knew it wasn't a Republican in South Carolina.
Seriously. Like, that's just a cop out because they're like, oh, they didn't know. I can't with men. I can't.
And by 37 points. Yes, it was a small number, but it doesn't matter. Every fucking vote counts. And that was a huge margin. And we just keep seeing it. We keep seeing it. And I'm just really so grateful. I'm just grateful because I think we're turning it around. But it's still going to be miserable. You know, we still have misery and horrible things. But, you know, stay strong during this. Be fucking strong. Don't be the weak ass, oh, they're going to win, we're doomed. Then you're just playing right into their hands and you're giving them the win. Don't give it to them, you know?
Exactly.
Ugh. Okay, so I'm going to start wrapping this up, although I do want to, have some fun things. And I want to ask you that, did you watch Ted Lasso, right?
I watched like the first two seasons.
Oh, that's right. You're not like the big Ted Lasso. So that's coming out. That's going to be on August 5th, season four. So Bob and I are watching once again. We're going through it so we can be all refreshed. But did you know that there is a new Little House on the Prairie?
I saw that. I actually started watching the first episode. Yeah.
Did you like it? I haven't seen it yet.
It's good. It has the same kind of like low energy vibe that the first one had. Like I was a Little House on the Prairie kid. Like my mom had me reading the books. We watched the show. Like I was Laura Ingalls Wilder. It's really sweet. It's a really, so far, you know, it's just, it's really sweet. I kept my attention, which is hard to do these days. So
yeah, my mom said, though, it can get, she's, I think, seen three episodes. And one, I don't know if it was the first one or not, but I guess they were like, you know, in covered wagons going over some treacherous water thing. And she's like, oh my God. It was just like harrowing. But I mean, I'm really interested in seeing, because I like Little House on the Prairie TV show. And then, I mean, I love that. I think it still holds up. You know,
it does because it's a timepiece. So it's like, it absolutely holds up. Oh God. I love Michael Landon. We don't talk enough about him and how he like worked for like forever until he died.
Yeah.
He was amazing.
Yeah. And everybody always had such, you know, wonderful things to say about him.
Yeah.
And then I'm trying to, I have not seen this. I think my mother has probably watched almost all of it. I had recommended it to her and I haven't watched it yet, but have you ever seen Glow?
Yes. I haven't seen all of it, but I've watched a lot of it. Yes, I do like it. It's campy. It's good. I like campy.
Yeah. And I like, what's his name? I can't think of his name. Who's the lead in it? The comedian? Mark Maron. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I like Mark Maron.
I like him a lot too.
Yeah, he's awesome. And I'm trying to think. And now, okay, so Sherry Jacobus, when she was on my show, I told her about there's a gorilla documentary on Netflix, and there's also a dinosaur documentary. And she said she really couldn't get into the dinosaur, which surprised me because I think it's fascinating. But have you seen either one of those?
I have not. I
highly recommend.
Okay.
Highly, especially the gorilla. David Attenborough. It's a David Attenborough thing. And so yes, there is a little bit of like, how can I say this? Like, I don't like to watch. Okay. When I watch the dinosaur thing, that's all, you know, computer generated dinosaurs. If anything happens to the dinosaur, I always feel sorry for it, even though it's computer generated. So I don't want to watch anything where you're going to see wildlife or any animal being hurt. And I will say that in the gorilla thing, the only thing you see, so it's a tiny little spoiler, but it's not really, is I guess there was footage from, I believe it was Fosse, Diane Fosse, when they killed a gorilla. And you see footage of them carrying the gorilla, but it's old footage. So yes, it's sad, but you don't see him killing it. You just see that it was gone. But I think in this show, the more sad thing, if you're going to focus on anything sad, is, you know, there's dynamics in the gorilla group and it's not easy. That's a fucking hard life, right? Being a gorilla. So, you know, there's a couple of gorillas who get not the greatest deal. However, it's fascinating and it's entertaining and it's very good. And it wasn't the kind of thing where whatever happens to animals made me wish I didn't see it. So I highly recommend that. And then the thing with the dinosaurs, and I'm never going to get over this. I didn't know this, but did you know that it fucking rained for a million years? I never knew that.
No.
A million years.
That's a long time. I didn't know that. That's wild.
It is. It's totally wild. Of course, it's Morgan Freeman is narrating it.
Of course.
And of course he is. And Steven Spielberg is producing it. And so it's absolutely fascinating because the whole thing starts off pre-dinosaur with the big reptiles. And then it just talks about, you know, how Earth changed, how Earth was a very different landscape initially and after the million year rain. And it wasn't just the million year rain because there were volcanoes and there were all these other things that happened that formed what we're experiencing now. But I mean, it's absolutely insane with these fucking, and some of the dinosaurs, especially like the little flying ones, are adorable. Some of them are blue. And I mean, it's just, it's so cool. And it's a really fun, interesting way to learn history. And yes, you do have to see, you know, when they become extinct. And it shows you why they became extinct and how it happened. And sometimes it was literally just because, like with those dinosaurs that had those really long necks, they could eat all the like the leaves and stuff from the trees. And the smaller dinosaurs, they couldn't reach it and they died. So it was like, it's kind of sad, but you know, it was a really long time ago. It was millions and millions and millions and millions of years ago. So it's just the way it went, but it's absolutely fascinating. It's like, I always try to find the things that I like and shows that I like and things that make me happy. And, you know, that's what I try to do as the world is chaotic and we're plumbing to Earth in a plane.
<You know? laughs> Right. Oh, but speaking of animals that you think might be getting hurt, I don't want to do too many spoilers, but there is a scene in Little House on the Prairie where you think it's about to happen, but just hold on.
Okay.
And that's all I'm giving you.
Okay.
So I don't like to give spoilers. That's good to know. Because like, I almost turned it off because I'm like you. I don't like that. So, but just stick with it.
Yeah. In fact, Bob and I had watched, what was it? The Chernobyl. And there's one episode in Chernobyl where they go around and they kill all of the animals. And it's really humanitarian.
Yeah. Because,
you know, but we couldn't watch that. It's like, no, I can't watch that.
No.
I mean, even if it was the humane thing to do, I don't want to watch it.
Well, I have a friend who she's a TV writer and she wrote the episode of Walking Dead where they eat the dogs.
Oh my God.
And we yelled at her. I was like, no. Great episode. And you have to do what you have to do. I get it. In the apocalypse, but I was like, oh no. Yeah.
That's so funny. You yell at her for me too. Yeah. No, I can't deal with it. I can watch people die all day long. I can't watch the animals. It's so hard. Yeah. So cause it's like, they're not us. They don't have the same kind of cruelty that we have in us. I mean, I know sometimes animals can be kind of cruel to each other. Like I've seen cats batting shit around and fucking around with, you know, other animals. So I know that they have that in them, but it's not to the degree that the human beings have.
Oh, humans are the worst. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're awful.
We're violent and horrible. I mean, it's violent out in nature, but it's usually.
It's not like vindictive and awful. Right. It's like survival.
Right. Yeah. It's not vengeful. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're not like, oh, and you know, though, it was interesting because I will give you this little spoiler on the gorilla thing. that gorillas can have sex recreationally, and they showed it. And it was like,
oh my,
wow. So like they were doing it for fun, and it was not about procreation. And it was weird to see it. It was like turn on the Barry White now. this is weird. Like you're seeing something private you shouldn't be seeing. I never like to watch animals doing it. It just makes me feel oogie. And
it's weird.
And it was especially weird because it was so human-like, you know? It was like, ew, that's like when you see two dogs going at it, they look like dogs. But when you see two gorillas like slowly pumping, it's like, ew! That's too much. But anyway, all right. I'm going to let you go. And
on that note,
on gorillas having sex. But as I usually do, just make sure everybody knows where to find you.
Sure. You can find me at Sarah Wood Writer on most things and at Sarah Wood on Blue Sky.
And we love Sarah Wood. So thank you for being on my show today. I appreciate it. And I know we'll talk soon.
Of course.
I'm Brian Karam, and I've spent decades covering politics. Now I'm taking you behind the scenes, one interview at a time.
Join us as each week Brian confronts the issues that matter, posing the questions you wish you could ask. No filter, no agenda, just the truth.
We're not here for sound bites. We're here for substance. Join me, Brian Karam, every week as we cut through the noise and get straight to it. This is Just Ask the Question. For curiosity will lead us to the facts.
Subscribe now on your favorite podcast platform. And remember, when you want answers, all you have to do is just ask the question.